hello and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoog, your host. Glad to have you with us on Fun Drive Monday here on the Arts Magazine Show, right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. Don't go away. We have some interesting guests coming up for you in the program. We'll have guests from the Kansas City Ballet, Ramona Panzagrau, a music director, and Mike Alley, the director of marketing for the Kansas City Ballet Company. Then later on in the show, we're going to talk about that new Sam Shepard play that's going on out at Johnson County Community College. But first, let me remind you that this is the day. This is the day you can support community radio here in Kansas City, KKFI. KKFI is free-range radio. It's not chicken, nor will it be cowed. Certainly never sheepish. Not this station, anyway. One of the great voices of radio here, at least around here at KKFI, Sean Smith is with us. He's going to help point a few things out to you. Always glad to have Sean here. He has a great voice. You'll recognize his voice from KCUR, KKFI, other places along the way. Welcome back.
Always a pleasure, and whether or not you recognize my voice, I know you recognize.
Free-ranging, we range from the blues to jazz to the arts to public affairs to reggae to Iranian music to chamber music. These are genres you're simply not going to enjoy on commercial radio, but we depend upon your support. Over 80% of our annual budget comes from listeners who care enough to contribute. You do that by calling 888-931-0901. We had a flurry at the end of the last hour, and we know more people are perhaps going to lunch, going to meetings, so if you have just a moment, or in a parking lot, about to get out of your car, it just takes about a minute to make that contribution, and it feels very good. It enhances your listenership, your listening, once you know that you have become a member of KKFI. 888-931-0901, or if it's more convenient, securely online at kkfi.org.
Yeah, sometimes, well, I guess I just did. I refer to KKFI as free range radio. We've been around for 25 years. The hosts, the DJs, commentators have been free to roam the airways, explore music and issues that get short shrift in commercial radio. Unfettered commentary. Unfettered in that it's one of the hallmarks of a free-range radio station. Well, for instance, Democracy Now. You're all familiar with our show in the morning, Democracy Now. KKFI was among the first radio stations in the country to start playing Democracy Now, and it still plays on this radio station. And in the last 25 years, a quarter century, this could not have happened without the support of the listening community. That's all of you out there, and it is with your continued listener support that we can bring you this free-range radio right into this century. Started in the previous century. We're, of course, 13 years into the next century. We're still here, and it's because of people like you. It's because of the trust that you have in us. There are many things you can trust or not trust each day. There will be chores to do, places to go, meals to enjoy. But you can do all of that while you're listening to the radio. You can take a walk now if you have a Walkman, and some people can listen on the phone. You can listen to KKFI anywhere you go. You can listen to the radio and listen to KKFI. We can be with you all the time. Whenever you want us to be with you, we're there. Podcasting is going to start in the future on this radio station. And along with the podcast, you'll be able to hear us even if you didn't hear us live. If you missed us at the time, you'll be able to hear us later. And isn't that a unique feature? Years ago, who would have thought that that would be the case in radio? But it is here, and it is with us, because we cater to what the community wants. This is what the community wants. This is what the community gets. We try to effectively cover events that don't get a large amount of coverage on other radio stations. In some cases, no coverage on any other radio station. We can do that here because we're a community radio station. We can cover the things that don't get covered. That's part of the mission of KKFI, and you can help out with all of it, of course, when you dial 888-931-0901 and pledge your support to KKFI, this program, and the station in general. Isn't that right, Sean?
Yes, and we do have a couple of nice thank you gifts at the $90 level of support. We have a brand new T-shirt that celebrates Free Range Radio and KKFI. You can take a look at that shirt by going to kkfi.org, where you can also make your secure contribution. It comes in a plethora of sizes, I believe from small to quadruple X. So we can accommodate you with the shirt. That's at $90. At $150, you can become a guest DJ. You program an hour's worth of music, and you select the show, and you air your music over 100,000 watts and worldwide because of our web streaming capabilities. And even if you are not interested in becoming a guest DJ with the holiday season just around the corner, it makes a great gift for a spouse or a family member or a friend, coworker you think has... You've bought them everything, and you're stumped as to what to get them. If they've said, hey, you know, I think I could be on the radio. I think this is the only station in the region that would, in fact, give a friend, a loved one, a family member the chance to broadcast over 100,000 watts for an hour. That's at $150. If you want both the T-shirt and the guest DJ thank you gifts, $200. Even if those amounts are not within your means, the important thing is that you contribute, that you participate as a member of KKFI. You do that by calling at whatever amount. You pick the amount, but you also must make the call. 888-931-0901.
Thanks so much, Sean. You know, there have been instances where people have purchased the guest DJ package, and they went on to have a show here on KKFI. Believe it or not, yes, it happens. So get on the phone now. I think Mark Manning is one of the celebrities over there answering phones. So sometimes you might want to speak with him. But the number to call is 888-931-0901 to help support community radio in Kansas City, 90.1 FM, KKFI. Well, welcome to the interview portion of the show. They've been patiently waiting while we talk to you. It's important that we talk to you about these things, but the show wouldn't be the show without the guests. But the guests are here as well with us, celebrating their what to be 56th season with the Kansas City Ballet. Ramona Panzagrau is the music director. She conducts the Kansas City Symphony Orchestra when they play at the ballet. She is with us, and Mike Alley, the director of marketing, is with us as well to talk about the 56th season, and in particular, the first show of the year. And one of the pieces is called Fancy Free, and I guess that's the overall title of the show, is Fancy Free.
Well, in order to put something out in front of people and on the radio like this, we normally choose, out of all the ballets, one to feature as the primary title. But, Michael, this show has got five ballets, all with the symphony playing or with piano accompaniment besides, which Ramona can talk about. But it's a great show, and we've seen one of the ballets performed on stage out at Johnson County Community College as part of their dance festival 2 weeks ago, and it was a great world premiere. So we've brought that back. So it's one of the five. So it's quite a show that folks will see.
Yeah, five pieces, Ramona.
We do. We have, of course, the symphony with four, and one of them is for piano solo. And I have everything from Leonard Bernstein's score, wonderful score, to Fancy Free, to Franz Schubert's Ninth Symphony, which is be ending this program, and a little Bach in the middle, and it's a really wonderful, wonderful evening of dance and music for everyone.
Yeah, now I'm kidding now, but we all thought we had seen the end of Mr. Widener. No, only kidding. No, he's back. He's back. Not in the role that he used to play as artistic director, but he is back choreographing a piece called Triple Play.
That's right.
Piano solo, three novelettes.
Right, by Francis Poulenc. And they're beautiful, beautiful pieces of music. His piece is a lovely, intimate moment in the middle of all of the sound that you'll hear with the symphony. So it's quite a bit different than the other works. It's a pas de deux, and it's nice to have him back. Nice to see him again. He's been in the studio this past weekend coaching his work, and he looks great. He's having a great time in New York.
Yeah, he just couldn't stay away, could he?
Kansas City draws you back. What
can
you do?
Right. It really does. So, Fancy Free, will I? Is this the right order? Am I reading them in the right
That's
order?
That's correct. Fancy Free opens the evening, and what a better way to open it than a romp in New York with three sailors on leave.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Let's point that out. That was the precursor to the Sinatra Kelly movie?
It was. Actually, Bernstein wanted, other way around, the choreographer, Jerome Robbins, wanted to commission a work by Leonard Bernstein, who was not well known at the time, and picked this piece. It was so popular on its debut premiere, it had 22 curtain calls in New York. 10 months later, it was a Broadway show because it was so popular. And then 2 years after that, it was the big movie with Frank Sinatra and Gene Kelly. So it's had legs, and it's had wonderful legs. It's still quite appropriate to today. It's charming. And the music is full orchestra. Big swingy sound from Bernstein. It's just delightful.
Yeah, if you don't remember it, three sailors on the town in New York.
That's right. And that's where the title song New York, New York came from in the movie. That's not in the ballet, but the ballet score is fantastic.
That's right. Yeah, well, that's all part of Fancy Free. Then we talked about Triple Play, choreographed by Mr. Whitener, piano solo, three novelettes, then an untitled piece, which now has a title.
It does.
Keep Me Wishing in the Dark.
Yes, and that was our world premiere that we presented 2 weeks ago with choreographer Jody Gates. The project was three companies and three choreographers and put together the all new work, and that premiered out at Johnson County. We love it so much. We've put it on our season opener as well. And she has done an absolutely gorgeous ballet. Contemporary movement, but ballet-based. The ladies are in pointe shoes. And the music is the music of J.S. Bach, with three piano pieces, three of his partitas, surrounding a middle section, which is the seventh keyboard concerto of Bach. So it's quite a workout for my wonderful pianist, Dan Velliser. He's been in the studio with us the last few days, playing it live for the dancers, so we can get that feeling of how he likes to interpret it. And I like to do that with everything that we do with the symphony. We start slowly and build. And so the dancers get a feel of live music, because obviously when it's not a recording, anything can happen. It can be a little faster, a little slower, take a little more time. And we like to work all of that out first. And that's what the wonderful thing is about having live music for dance. In Kansas City Ballet, and Kansas City audiences are so lucky to have that. It is not common these days, but especially in my view, music is half of the art form. So you need to hear it live, and it sounds fantastic.
Is doing a new work always more difficult than doing something that's more established?
Well, you know, there's process for both. When you do a new work, obviously you want to know what the choreographer is going to pick for music. But when you're staging a new piece, it takes longer because they're creating, and creative process takes quite a while. But when you're restaging a work like Fancy Free, you do bring someone in from the foundation, in this case the choreographer's foundation, the Robbins Trust, and they have to stage the work correctly. So they both have a time frame ahead of actually going on stage, but just a little different.
Yeah, it's always so much more fun. Well, I can say that. I guess you can't. To see a brand new work that's never been done
before.
Well,
it's fun for us, too, because oftentimes the choreographer is working with the dancers, and it becomes a constructed piece, especially for us, built on the strength of our dancers and maybe some ideas they had. So it becomes very tailored to our company. And for the dancers, it's wonderful to have something built on them, because they take ownership, and it feels very kinetic in their body, and they usually look stunning because it's built just for them.
Yeah, yeah, that's just great. The fourth piece on the bill, Allegro
Briant.
Briant. Yes. Allegro Briant.
Yes.
That's my Balanchine. You do a lot of Balanchine.
We do. It's Balanchine. Is a genius. So his music and dance are so unbelievably linked together that audiences love it, dancers love it, I love it. Balanchine was the man that said, see the music, hear the dance. Mm-hmm. And it's so intertwined that you can't separate one from the other. It seems inevitable that those steps would fall on those notes. It's that perfectly constructed. But the music for that first, for that Balanchine work, Allegro Briant, is actually a little-known Tchaikovsky third piano concerto. And if you ask most musicologists or pianists, they'll say Tchaikovsky only wrote two. That is not the case. He had actually started a symphony and didn't like the way it was going, so changed the first movement of this unfinished symphony into the first movement of a piano concerto. And so it's 15 minutes of just going for it. It is hard, and it's fantastic. The dancers say it's 15 minutes of everything they know about dance.
Oh.
So, wonderful, brilliant piece. My pianist for that work is Sam Beckett from here in Kansas City. He's playing it beautifully. And so it's quite a piano-heavy evening, which, being a pianist myself, is wonderful. But you get two concerti on our program.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always... always a lot of fun to watch something like that. Why did they call it neoclassical? As I was reading that summary, it was referred to as a neoclassical piece.
Right. Well, built on classical foundations, but with a contemporary edge to it. So, Stravinsky was known for his early works being neoclassical, using his vocabulary, but basing it on classical forms. So neoclassical happens quite a bit in the 20th and 21st century, because we hark back to our past, but add our future to it at the same time.
Sure. Now, the final piece of this particular performance is called Opus 1. It's a world premiere. So you have a new work and you have a world premiere.
Yeah, we do. And it is by our new artistic director, Devin Carney. He wanted a work to showcase the company, put every dancer on stage, and he wanted something big and gorgeous, and he gave me that task in about June. He said, I want it to start big, I want it to finish big, and I want to use the same instrumentation you already have. Well.
No pressure.
No pressure. Oh, and it has to be a certain length. And so we went through the list of possible candidates, and I gave him a CD with choices. And he picked the final movement of the Schubert Ninth Symphony, which is called The Great Symphony. And it is. And so is his piece. The entire company on stage in tutus and tiaras and looking stunning. I think audiences will leave very impressed with how Kansas City Ballet is currently looking and currently dancing. And the future of the company is so bright. And I am very excited to be involved with it.
I'm sure a lot of people are waiting to see what Mr. Carney is going to do.
That's right. It's a wonderful evening to have our previous artistic director work and our new one on the program. It's, you know, a nod to the past with looking into the future.
Are they actually going to pass a baton? That would be clever.
Well, I'm not giving up my baton.
No, I don't mean your baton.
So, no, not happening.
Will Bill pass to Devin?
I think that's already happened.
That's okay. Yeah. Well, that's great. That sounds like a great evening. It's going to be, at the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts, where the ballet has been now for a couple of years now. Performances begin on Friday, October the 11th, this Friday, at 7:30 p.m. Performances continue then on Saturday the 12th at 7:30, Sunday afternoon the 13th, and afternoon matinee at 2 o'clock p.m. They're going to get a few days to rest their feet. And then on Friday the 18th, 7:30, Saturday the 19th at 7:30, and Sunday the 20th at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts. You can't miss that building as you're driving towards downtown. It's right there. It's up in the sky where all can see it. People, as it was being built, people wondered, well, what's that going to be? And That's what it is. It's the Kaufman Center for Performing Arts, where the ballet, the Lyric, and many other events now call their home.
That's right. And the Symphony, where the three resident art organizations there.
Yeah, there's two theaters. I probably should reiterate this because a lot of people don't know. There's two theaters. You'll be on the Muriel Kaufman side.
That's right. We're in the ballet opera side, and the Symphony then has their own hall, Hellsburg Hall. So they're quite different. But they're both equally as wonderful.
Well, people have asked me that, so I'll briefly ask you, well, what's the difference between the two? Since the symphony's on the one to the east, I'm going to say that's more conducive to symphonic music?
Right. Well, that is a symphony hall where the entire hall is open and you see the symphony laid out in front of you with, of course, the big organ up high. Our side is for theatrical productions, so we have a stage with wings and a curtain that shuts it off when you're at intermission or before or after. So ours is quite a bit different than the symphony side because theirs is completely open. You see everything in the hall. Ours has, for theatrical productions, has the stage, has an orchestra pit, which is where we are. And then the layout is different. We have a lot of boxes in our hall. Still has a staggered floor, which rises up, so the view is great from every seat. But, yeah, it's just for a completely different usage and a completely different look. So it's, you need to go to both to really experience the Kaufman Center.
Sir, we're speaking with Ramona Panzagrau, the music director, and Mike Alley, the director of marketing for the Kansas City Ballet Company. This is their 56th season, and performances will begin on October the 11th on Friday. This is the first show of the season. They have an interesting season coming up. Mike, you have the Nutcracker in December. Then you go to Dracula in February. But a completely different mindset. Cinderella in May. So the Ballet of Cinderella.
Variety is the spice of life.
How do you market something like that? Says we're going from dark to bright to cheery.
Well, what we do is we choose a look that's appropriate to the show first. And we have a lot of subscribers that just trust us. They renew their subscription on faith that the quality and the value is going to be there, because it always is. We're very proud of our excellence. And then on an individual show basis, we try to find the audience that will like a particular show. For example, we're doing a number of promotions because Dracula is around Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing, because as has been said, is vampirism is the eternal kiss.
Oh, they do say that, yeah.
So,
and love can be a real bite sometimes.
Right, yeah. And we're going to be doing some co-promotions with the Community Blood Center.
Oh, well, that's
so we'll have Dracula who will say, I take blood, but you should give.
That's right. Good promotion. Was that your thinking?
Well, I borrow things. That's okay. Marketing is assimilation, Michael.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one thing about this show, I'm lucky enough to be able to watch our 33 dancers in the studio and also seeing the show on stage at Johnson County Community College, seeing the One Ballet by Jody Gates. I watch a lot of dance on television, so you think you can dance, Dancing with the Stars, plus PBS, when they have all of the Mark Morris and Alvin Ailey and other dance companies. And I tell you, there's nothing that compares. Like Ramona said about the live music versus the recorded music for ballet, it's the same thing with seeing it. You can watch dance on television on a big screen with stereophonic sound, but there is nothing like being in the room with the lights, the costumes, the sound of the orchestra. You ain't seen it till you've seen it live, at the Kaufman Center especially.
And those movements are actually happening right in front of you.
That's right.
Yeah. Right then. You can see how difficult it is. Sometimes it looks easy on television. It's not.
No, not
at all. Well, I want you to be able to work in here. We just had a First Friday.
Yes.
On the next First Friday, you have a special thing going on with the Nutcracker.
Well, we're going to do a free First Friday family night. That's a lot of F's. I'm fond of alliteration, Michael.
As long as it's the right F's, no problem.
And so what we do in three studios at our Bollinger Center building down by Union Station, we have rehearsal for the Nutcracker. Some is the adult cast, some are the children, some are something else, maybe a duet and so forth. And people are encouraged to come for First Friday, and then they rotate between the different studios to see working rehearsals of different segments of the show. It was a smashing success last year, so much so that we had people standing in the hallways peeking over other people's heads. So we're going to be doing that again November 1st. People do have to register online because we had such a huge crowd last November. We encourage them to renew, to RSVP ahead of time so we can manage the crowd.
Yeah, not as many seats in the Bollinger Center as there is at the Kauffman. So.
And that's kcballet.org is that website.
In fact, you can go to kcballet.org to make your arrangements to see Fancy Free, and you can also call 816-931-2232 to make arrangements as well. If you're still better on the phone than on the web, although many people now we'll do their arrangements on the web exclusively. It's just easier to do it that way. But all of the excitement, beginning this Friday night, the 11th at 7:30. Performances continue then on Saturday evening, Sunday afternoon at 2, and then another weekend on Friday the 18th in the evening, Saturday the 19th in the evening, Sunday the 20th at 2 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon. The overall program is called Fancy Free, but that's just one of five pieces in the opener of the 56th season of the Kansas City Ballet Company. You'll see Ramona conducting the Kansas City Symphony in all but one of the pieces.
Correct, yes. Yeah,
in all but one of the pieces. And that'll all start this Friday night. The 56th season is underway. A lot of fine entertainment to be brought your way by the Ballet Company of Kansas City, the Kansas City Ballet. Thanks for being with us. Ramona Panzagrau, music director, and conducts the symphony for the ballet performances. Thank you for being here. And Mike Galley, the director of marketing for the ballet, from Dracula to Cinderella. That's a challenge. Got to be a challenge.
We're going to make it work.
Oh, I know you will. You always do. Thanks so much for being with us. And I want to thank, for one, Charlene Pryor, for her donation to Community Radio. Charlene says here, it's the only place where you can hear Ethel Merman singing "There's No Business Like Show Business" every week. That's probably true. Charlene is a well-known person in her own right in broadcasting around this area, working with Channel 5 for so many years. So thank you to her for all of that. And can't read the other one. I will check it during the break, and we'll be back to you when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM.
Freeze Frame!
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. Question, what were big screens created for? Answer, gravity. An expertly crafted and brilliantly realized space adventure, Gravity is an edge-of-your-seat thriller, an immersive movie experience that stands as one of the most impressive examples of purely visual storytelling that you're likely to see. Sandra Bullock and George Clooney star in this survival epic about two space shuttle astronauts who are stranded when disaster strikes and wipes out most of Earth's artificial satellites. Bullock's convincing performance is almost as remarkable as the seamless and spectacular special effects. While Bullock and Clooney pull their weightlessness, the real stars of Gravity are director Alfonso Cuarón, cinematographer Emmanuel Lubezki, and special effects supervisor Tim Weber. And thanks to their efforts, you'll feel like you're stuck in Bullock's space boots, experiencing every terrifying moment of her ordeal. While Gravity is essentially a single extended action scene, it has moments that touch on some spiritual and psychological issues, adding to the movie's forward thrust. I rarely recommend 3D, but in the case of Gravity, it's definitely worth the upcharge, especially in IMAX. It's a gorgeous-looking white-knuckle action flick that's as good as eye candy gets. Also opening this week, Runner Runner is a suspense drama starring Justin Timberlake and Ben Affleck that was hidden from the critics. Good Old Frida is an award-winning documentary about Frida Kelly, the longtime secretary of the Beatles. Zac Efron, Billy Bob Thornton, and Paul Giamatti star in Parkland, a drama about the chaos that occurred on the day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Hot Cuisine is a French comedy based on the experiences of a presidential chef, and the 13th Kansas International Film Festival takes place through October 11th at the Glenwood Arts Theater in Overland Park. Information is available at kansasfilm.com. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI FM.
Freeze Frame!
Welcome to This Week on Stage, underwritten by KC Stage Magazine, your most comprehensive source for performing arts in Kansas City. Find out what's playing at kcstage.com. Opening this week is Carrie the Musical at the EGADS Theater Company. This Week Only, Dance Theater of Harlem, part of the Harry Manjewel series. Still playing this week are Old Blue Eyes at Chestnut Fine Arts Theater, Your Hit Parade at Quality Hill Playhouse, The Fox on the Fairway at New Theater Restaurant, Musical Mondays 2013 at Musical Theater Heritage, The Parlor Series 2013 at Musical Theater Heritage, Murder at the Royal by the Mystery Train, The Fox on the Fairway at Paradise Playhouse Dinner Theater, and Black Lab, a new music festival at the Charlotte Street Foundation. Closing this week are Red Badge Variations at the Coterie Theater, Footloose at Theater Lawrence, Spring Awakening at the Barn Players Incorporated, and Seven Guitars at UMKC Theater. These shows can be reviewed online on our website at kcstage.com, with over 200 performing arts organizations listing auditions, performances, and events. Week on Stage is a public service of KC Stage Magazine and 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. We are in the midst of it all. We are doing our fall fundraising drive for you right now, and it's your chance to give back if you enjoy. Only one out of every 10 people that listen to this radio station actually donate to this radio station. I know that doesn't sound like much, but that's the way things go nowadays. But if you're not, have never been one of those 10 people, I think it's time to do that. I mean, if you enjoy the programming, if you appreciate the kinds of things we do here at KKFI, I think you need to join in. You'll have a lot of fun. You'll get some special benefits from doing so. Charlene, for instance, gets the new KKFI t-shirt, newly designed and all of that. And you'll be getting that if you call 888-931-0901. That's the number to call. We've been on the air at KKFI. Well, KKFI signed on March 1st, 1988. We've been here now 25 years on the air, and this past quarter century could not have happened without the support of the listening community. Yes, we work hard here doing good shows. Yes, we have a lot of fun doing it. I won't deny it. I've had a ball. It's been wonderful. But none of this could happen, not on any of these programs, without the support of the listening community. Community radio is a different model from past commercial radio that you hear all the time. We're not programmed to serve the commercial interest or owners or stockholders. We have a membership, but no one gets any dividends off their membership here at KKFI. Instead, here at KKFI, every dollar we generate is used to provide news, conversations, music of the highest quality. At KKFI, you are our trusted source. The feedback, what we get from you, that determines the kind of music we play, the kind of guests we have on the air, the kind of events that we cover. And as I said earlier in the show, we try to deliver and cover events that are not covered as widely by the commercial audience here in town. I'll do a play, a theater that is not very much noticed in the community. We give them exposure. They have a chance to provide their case to you, let you know what to expect when you go to see the show at their place. And that goes not just for theater, but for dance events, for community events, for political speakers, things of that nature. The listeners that value this station and support it and give us the proper feedback, they're the most important reasons why KKFI needs your support, why we're here, why we continue to do what we do, and want to continue doing it on to the future. The theme, the sort of unofficial theme, KKFI is free range radio, not chicken, not most of the time anyway, nor will it be cowed, and of course it is certainly never sheepish, and that's just the way it is, because we have the freedom to do that, being as unaffiliated as we are. Being unaffiliated also means not a continuous money stream coming in. So we have to have events to make money. We have to have fund drives like this to make money, to keep things going, all to keep things coming your way, the things you want to hear. Don't be sheepish about writing, emailing, or calling the station with points of view that you have. I want to hear more of this. I want to hear something about this. It helps. It really does help. I've got a lot of input over the years, and it's been very much a good guidance as to what direction to go. So I want to thank all of you for that. Community radio is a different model. You know, we don't serve the community that the commercial stations do. We serve our listeners that donate to us. So many things happen. There will be chores to do, places to go, as I said earlier, people to meet, and KKFI wants to be a part of your life, whether you're on a walk with a Walkman, whether you're listening to a previous broadcast that you missed on iPod, whether you're listening live at the time on the internet, whether you're listening in your car. I know a lot of people listen to radio in their car. I know I do. I always have the radio on in the car. This is all part of daily life now, and we're proud and we're happy to be a part of this everyday life. So right now we need you to call 888-931-0901 or go online at kkfi.org. Either way, you can make your support known for community radio in Kansas City, 90.1 FM, KKFI. Thank you very, very much for your support. We do have another guest. Glad to have her here. Haven't seen her for quite a while. See her on stage all the time, in person. Not as much, but she's here today with us. Cinnamon Schultz-Paulette is with us. She is a director this time. She's also an actress as well. She also teaches at Johnson County Community College, acting, speech, probably, things of that nature.
That's correct.
At a Johnson County Community College. Also an actress, as I said. I've seen her at, I made these notes from memory, at the Unicorn, certainly at Kansas City Actors Theater, at the Rep, the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival. I've probably left out quite a few things. What have I left out? Anything big that I've left out?
Well, I was out at the New Theater once.
Well, good.
So, yeah, and I think you've mentioned pretty much all of them.
Well, she was in the film Winter's Bone, if you remember that. In fact, she had a key role in that. She was Victoria in that role.
You.
What's it like to be in a movie that was nominated for 4 Academy Awards?
Surreal.
Yeah, I bet so.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to go out there and walk the carpet?
No, I didn't. I stayed home and I watched it on television.
Well, that's probably just as exciting, knowing that you were in that movie.
Yes.
And you had a substantial role in that movie. That has to be very gratifying.
It really is. It was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of wow.
Yeah.
So it was amazing, and I think I'm still riding the high off of it.
Well, okay, continue to ride that high.
Thank you.
And I just searching your name on the internet. That's what we do to get background information. Nothing bad is on there.
Oh, good.
But I did learn something I didn't know. Your parents named you Cinnamon after a character from the original Mission Impossible television series.
That's correct.
So the character Cinnamon, I forget what actress played that part, but
you know, I don't remember what actress played it either, but I remember she played the secretary role, I believe, in the original series.
Yeah.
So
her name was Cinnamon, so they named you Cinnamon.
They sure did. My mom was pregnant, and they were watching the show. She fell in love with the name and said, if we're having a girl, I want her name to be Cinnamon. And so there it was.
Yeah. Well, along with her acting credentials, she also teaches.
Yes.
She also passes along that experience and that knowledge to students at Johnson County Community College, where she teaches acting and speech and something else.
I teach movement.
Movement, yes. Mm-hmm. That was the one I missed, yeah. At a Johnson County Community College, and in that role, mm-hmm. she is directing the show that they're doing out there. It's about to go on. In fact, it starts this Friday, October the 11th at 7:30 p.m., and well, picked a hard one, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
A Lie of the Mind by none other than Sam Shepard. I kidded her earlier. We don't see very many Sam Shepard comedies, dark comedies, perhaps.
Yes. I was going to say, there's humor, I suppose, in his shows, but I've never read a full-blown-out comedy of his. But, yeah, I suppose there's dark humor in some of his shows.
Yeah, this is a show, as best I can recall, a lot of jealousy, a lot of family. family interaction and everything that goes along with that.
Yes, it definitely deals with two families and their connection from the marriage of one family's son and one family's daughter. And when the show opens, it opens with the son, Jake, calling his brother Frankie, saying, "I killed her." I don't want to give anything away, but it, as all Sam Shepard shows, there is no happy ending, but it talks about how the families deal with each other, whether the communication is good or not. But in how a family, looking inside a family's life and how they deal with each other and with tragic consequences, whether they face it or not.
Yeah. Do we know any of the Shepherd's motivations for this? In some of the things he writes, we do know, because sometimes specific events we recognize from the news, and then there's a Shepherd play that kind of mirrors that. What about A Lie of the Mind?
I don't know that it mirrors necessarily an actual event or his something from his personal past. I know a lot of the, some of the inspiration came from his dealings with his father. I'm can't say, of course, not having met his father or him, of whether or not the father in our show is an accurate depiction, but I know a lot of what they deal with has to deal with what he had to deal with growing up.
Sure.
So.
Sure. And I don't know that knowing exactly would help the actor playing the role, in fact, because don't you think, well, I don't know what your personal directing philosophy or acting philosophy is. I don't know you that well. Mm-hmm. But a lot of actors want to put their own interpretation into it. They don't want to follow. So even if they knew Shepherd personally,
sure,
they'd probably have their own slant on things. And that's probably a good thing, because everybody's performance would be copied in the same, and you don't want that.
Exactly. You definitely don't want that. And that's what's actually wonderful about getting to direct and having a vision, so to speak, but then watching the actors take their interpretation of the characters and really blossom with them and showing me things that I hadn't anticipated, but also coming together as a whole when it's so relationship oriented, they have to interact in how they generate and what kind of things then blossom on stage. It's really, really kind of neat.
Yeah. What do you say to your students when this first, as you were casting and you were telling them what you expected from them? Now, this is a heavy play.
Yes.
Shepherd plays are quite heavy, and you have to really go deep within yourself sometimes to find something in you, in your past, that you can help to deal with all of this. What do you say to them as they first begin?
Well, it depends on who, what character they're auditioning for or what character they're portraying. But, yeah, my first response is, no, this isn't going to be easy. Yeah. This is extremely gritty and pretty dark. But I think that if we work together and you can find something within yourself, and every character is redeeming, no matter how bad they are, there is a redemption about them, and it's then their job with my help to find that redemption in them. Therefore, they can play them without thinking, like, for instance, oh, this person is horrible. How on earth am I going to do that? You have to find something in them that you can connect with, and the rest just kind of goes with it.
I saw an interview with Vincent Price one time, and all the scoundrels that he played. He said, he goes, oh, you can't think that way when you're playing the role. You have to think that this is him, and he's the way he is for good reason.
That's exactly right.
Well, that's the way he looked at it in his mind.
And that makes complete sense, and that's kind of what I talked about, especially with one of my characters. I said, you can't think about the fact of he's awful. I said, think about his upbringing. Who did he learn from? And what else does he know besides this? And that's just why he is the way he is. And then there are other circumstances, and doing the best you can,
sure,
basically.
Oh, sure. We're speaking with Cinnamon Schultz-Paulette, she's an actress, but directing this time, directing A Lie of the Mind. written by Sam Shepard. It's going on at Johnson County Community College in the Bodker Black Box Theater, part of the Carlson Center. It's always easy to remember the address for Johnson County Community College, 1234 College Boulevard in Overland Park, Kansas. If you need to MapQuest, the zip code is 66210. Speaking with Cinnamon about the play, about things in general out there, the Bodker Black Box Theater, that's one of three theaters there.
Correct.
At the college, so maybe we should help the people. They've probably been to Yardley before.
That's
the big room.
That's the big, big theater.
Where is Bodker?
There's
Polsky and there's Bodker.
That's right. There's Polsky Theater, which is right next to Yardley in that main entrance. But then if you go down a long hallway to your left of those theaters, at the very end of that long hallway is a Black Box Theater, the Bodker Black Box Theater.
Ah.
It's a great space, really intimate, and it's especially interesting to do Sam Shepard in that space.
Uh-huh. But is it better doing something that heavy to be right on the actors?
I would say, you know, there have been challenges because five different scenes have to be set up in a small black box. But I would not give up the intimacy to have the audience being able to really, really up close, almost as if they're sitting in the living room with this family, or a bedroom of the son of the other family.
Mm-hmm.
It's great,
yeah,
for lack of a better word.
Yeah, intimate, but also not a large seating capacity, which affects your attending, because you need to make arrangements because of the smallness of the seating.
That's correct. We have the capacity, I believe, of 82 for this show. And because it's general seating, that's why they recommend showing up early. Since you don't pay for your tickets, it's you just show up a half an hour ahead of time. We do recommend that you show up as early as you can so you can get a seat, because they do tend to fill up.
So no reserving, just come early.
That's correct.
Yeah, so there's no need to give a number for reservations. The information is probably on the college's website.
That's correct.
Which would be jccc3cs.edu. Of course, then /theater.
That's correct.
And then if you want to go even further, /theater current season.
Yes.
And probably an example of each show that you'll be doing this year. This is the first one of several, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. This is the first show of this semester of the fall season. Then they will be doing Dead Man's Cell Phone, which will be performed in the Polsky Theater. I'm looking forward to seeing that one. next semester, they will be doing The Cripple of Inishman.
Oh, yeah.
Which... should another light piece, ha-ha.
Actors Theater did that a few years back.
They sure did. Yeah. That was their opening show.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think that they... JCCC puts on some really wonderful shows. And even though they're a community college, they don't back away from heavy or hard topics either. They also do musicals, though, which is fun to see as well. So they do a lot of different theater.
Yeah, and it must be a lot of fun teaching. I mean,
it's great.
You probably had some of these same classes elsewhere. Where did you attend? I didn't find that.
Oh, that's okay. I did my undergraduate at University of Kansas.
Okay.
And I got my graduate degree at University of Iowa.
Yeah.
So, yes, I took all of these classes.
Yeah, do you want to go in a different direction than some of your teachers went? I find some teachers say that. They say, well, I teach entirely different than the way I was taught.
Yeah.
And do you have your own philosophy on that?
Well, sure. I wouldn't say entirely different. I would say I'm combining a lot of what I learned. I'm not teaching exactly what I was taught during this one class or by this one professor, but I definitely am culminating a lot of what I've learned from not only my previous professors, but previous people I've worked with on stage who have coached me for different theater performances and things like that. So... trying to give a lot of little things.
Well, sure. Some of your students may well have seen you perform, and in fact, probably undoubtedly has seen you perform, so they might have different questions than they would have otherwise.
Yes.
What kinds of things do you look for in a student as you're casting the role? The way they do the audition exclusively?
That gives them the initial callback, depending on how much they give mm-hmm. in an audition. And, yeah, that does say a lot about having been through many auditions myself. You have to put yourself out there. And you have to, as I tell my students, go for it. Give yourself room to fail, because that's how you give yourself room to succeed. If you don't put yourself out there, then how can you know what's going to happen? And that means putting yourself into a monologue situation and really going for it and connecting. Yeah. And a lot can be said.
Well, sure. I also like your opinion on doing film as opposed to stage. You've done both.
Yes.
And how is the acting different? You're doing, in a film, it's short sequences, probably no more than 10 seconds a take, if even that.
Sure. Sometimes certain directors will let you run a whole scene, but then, of course, you have to go back and get different angles. So you end up running the same scene over and over and over, which is what actors for stage do in rehearsal. Whereas performance, and then plus on film, you a lot of times do it out of order.
Mm-hmm.
You'll shoot the ending first because it's more convenient for a location or things like that. So it's extremely different, let alone the fact that when you're acting in front of a camera, it's much different than when you're acting for an entire audience that's right in front of you. There's a lot of differences.
Is it hard to determine whether it's going well in such short sequences? Normally you would get an audience reaction. You can tell if they're connecting with you or not. You can just tell.
Well, sure, you can. You rely on your director a lot, I think, in both, because your director is your eye. During rehearsals, during stage, your director has to be your audience
mm-hmm.
every single rehearsal to let you know, is the intention of the scene getting across? And it's the same in film. You rely a lot on the director not only to be looking at whether or not the shot's going well, but are you getting across what you're supposed to be?
Sure.
So.
Sure. I just wondered, could you tell that the young lady's performance was going to end up being a nominated performance?
And that she would go to stardom?
That's right. Could you tell just by watching? Because, as you said, everything is done so piecemeal.
Yeah, it is. I could tell she was good. I definitely could. And I was hoping that it would be recognized along with the, you know, John Hawkes performance in there was, I thought, incredible. And a lot of the performances in that film were. I did not guess that she's going to be a star. I don't know that anybody could guess that. But I did enjoy working with her. And the other thing that I loved about working on that set was the actors' willingness to connect with the other actors and be in the moment, which meant a lot.
Sure. And she brings all of this experience now to her directing, which she directs A Lie of the Mind, written by Sam Shepard. It opens this Friday night, October the 11th, at the Bodker Black Box Theater on the campus of Johnson County Community College. Performances go the 11th, 12th, actually two performances on the 12th,
right.
And Saturday afternoon at 2, then Saturday evening at 7:30, then a matinee at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sunday the 13th, and then another weekend following that, Friday the 18th at 7:30, Saturday the 19th, two performances again on Saturday, 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m., then a Sunday afternoon matinee at 2 at the Bodker Black Box Theater. That should come easily for me because I met Mr. Polsky at one time, and he has the other theater there.
Yes.
But this is the Bodker Black Box Theater, Johnson County Community College, 1234 College Boulevard, Overland Park, Kansas. They are on Facebook. Some of these addresses I might not have right, so I'm going to have someone help me with this.
Okay.
Facebook.com, then JCCC-theater.
Yes.
And then this other website address is longer, jccc.edu/theater/theater/current-season, and that'll get you there as well. I'll bet if you Google
I was just going to say, if you simply Google JCCC Theater, it will bring options up for you, either the Facebook or on the JCC website.
Yeah.
So, and even if you just go to jccc.edu and type in theater, it will lead you and give you all, lead you all the way to the current season.
Sure, sure. And just come. You know,
please.
No need for reservations. Just come. They start at 7:30 p.m. and Cinnamon recommended at least a half hour early, probably.
Yes, that's when they open the house, and that would guarantee you to the pick of the seats.
Yeah, and they'll also there's probably literature there that'll tell them about the rest of the season.
Yes, there definitely is, and for this show in particular, we're also having a special display pertaining to domestic violence, because October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and because our show deals with that,
it sure does. Yeah,
we are lucky enough to have Safe Home making a big display and having a volunteer there to speak to anybody about the goings-on.
Yeah. Thank you very much for being with us
and
telling us about your experiences. Well, I ask her.
Well, thanks for having me.
And she is directing this time, A Lie of the Mind by Sam Shepard. And it, of course, opens this Friday the 11th at Johnson County Community College. Shepherd plays are so heavy.
Yes.
Be prepared for that when you go. But it should be a nice, intimate experience.
Yes.
I shouldn't say small theater. It does seat 82 people, but intimate theater.
But intimate is a good word.
Would be the best way to describe it. Cinnamon Schultz Paulette. Mm-hmm. She's been with us. Thank you so much.
Thank
for coming.
You.
Come again. Tell us about the next time you're in a big play.
I would love to.
Let us know about that. We look forward to seeing you then. Thanks for coming. Remember, the fun drive continues to roll on. People are in there now. Oh, they're just with eager anticipation awaiting your phone call as you dial 888-931-0901 to help support community theater here in our community radio here in Kansas City, just like this community theater here in Kansas City as well. What better way to describe what our hosts do here at the radio station? They explore their particular genre of music and the issues that go along with that. There's a lot of politics involved with jazz. Our jazz programmers might tell you about that, as well as the when the session was recorded, who was there, what the circumstances were that goes along, and our hosts have been doing it for a long time, some as long as 25 years. So bear that in mind, the experience, the dedication, all of that, all to bring you the best programming possible. If you're a jazz fan, jazz is coming up next. The Jazz Insider is coming up next. Great jazz, history behind the jazz. Jazz will be from 1 to 3. Then the blues. Lady D and the Blues from 3 to 6. Same thing. Experience, knowledge of the music, background information. Even if you want to call in a request, I'll bet on a fundraising week that